Voice of the Shia this week is being sponsored Lelishmas Rav Avigdor Menachem Ben Ramar Chatzi Olo Shalom.
Okay. Peischem Bechweid Achsanya. First of all, when the Maidim Lava Malkan or Behalbstam called, still got the warm feeling, his gewaldige warmkeit, and it's a big schuss that he is zeuche to have such a wonderful shir in his shul. Of course, somebody like Rav Mendi, who's mamish, one of the real oiskim b'tzorchei tzibur, we can't stop being jealous of such a person. So I want to speak about the sugya, the end of sukkah, very nice, beautiful inya. The Mishnah says in Daf Nun Vav and Aleph, talking about the division of the lechem upon him. So the Mishnah says b'shayi meis hashana. So we have basically two on Shabbos. We have two. Let's start like this. There's 24 bati av, 24 mishmaros. The kohanim are divided up into 24 different sets of families and family groups, and each group works for 2 weeks every year, and of those, in each week, they're divided up into batei av. Okay, that means that every day a different beis av works. The Chaznish says it was a kavua dika thing. That means if you're a beis av of Sunday, you're going to be a beis av of Sunday your whole life. That's going to be your beis av. And so now there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim how many batei av there were. So Sunday through Friday, of course, there were. However, the question is now whether there was on Shabbos or not. So Rashi brings down, Rashi says in a few places, that there were Rashi in Tainis actually says that there were seven Bati Avos, Keneged Zayinim Eshua, Beis Av Liyayim, and so says the Rav over there. In Pesachim and in Yevamos, Rashi says there were six Bati Avos, and on Shabbos they were all the same. Somebody, the Shoshanim Ladovid brings down, Yushalmi in Tainis says that there were seven Bati Avos. The Mefarish in Tomit says, also there were six Bati Avos, Keneged Sheish Yimei Shavua, and the Shabbos, they all work together. And really the basis is to do with our Mishnah over here. Okay? So, our Mishnah says over here, that Bishar Yimei Sashana, Hanichnas Neitel Sheish, Vayetze Neitel Sheish. There was a Mishmar Hanichnas, and there's a Mishmar Yetze. Every Shabbos, there was a Mishmar that was Yetze, the ones that were leaving, and there was a Mishmar Hanichnas, this was a Mishmar that was coming in. It doesn't say specifically anything yet about Bati Avos, but apparently we can say they were Bati Avos, we could say they were not Bati Avos. So let's just clarify. If there was no Bati Avos, that means there was actually six Bati Avos, Sunday through Friday. On the Shabbos, it was the whole Mishmar. It was the whole Mishmar Nechnas, and it was the whole Mishmar HaYotze. Okay, they were working there. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about Lechem Aponim over here. So Lechem Aponim, this was divided out. There's 12 Chalas. This should have normally been divided out. Six Chalas to the Mishmar HaYotze, the leaving Mishmar, and six Chalas to the Mishmar HaNechnas, the ones that are coming in. Each one is doing about half of the Avodah. The Mishmar Yotze is doing the Avodah of the morning, and the Mishmar Nichnas, the ones that are coming in, are doing the Avodah of the evening. Okay? Now, so if we understand there were six Bati Avos, so what we're saying is that on Shabbos it was everyone together, and therefore on Shabbos there was no specific Bati Avos. The Aruch HaNeir wants to bring a Raya, which I'm not going to go into. I did put in my Mekorim, so I'm not going to go into that right now. The Aruch HaNeir wants to bring a Raya from a Gemara in Tainis that they had to have been Bati Avos. Okay, so that means there was, which would leave me a total of eight Bati Avos. Okay, because that means if you're saying on Shabbos, when we're talking about Mishma, we're actually talking about Bati Avos. That means that there was on Shabbos, there was two Bati Avos. One from the Mishma HaNichnas, and one from the Mishma HaYotze, the leaving Mishma, and one from the Mishma HaNichnas, the ones that are coming in. Which means that we have eight Bati Avos. Now the question is, how would we explain seven? Okay, because Miman of Shech, either there was no Bati Avos, and then we're talking about the whole Mishma, or we're going to explain, or we will say that there was eight and there was two Bati Avos. Okay, now let's go further. We'll come to that in a moment. So the Mishnah goes right, and the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah says, "B'shayim ha'isashon ha'nichnas neitel sheish v'yaisi neitel sheish." The Mishnah that comes in takes six, and the Yaisi, the one that goes out, takes six. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ha'nichnas neitel sheva v'yaisi neitel chamish." The ones that come in, the incoming Mishnah, they will get seven chalas. The ones that are going out are only going to get five. The Gemara says, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of a Yehuda who says it's not an equal division, that the Mishmah Nichnas is going to get more than the Mishmah Yotze? So he says, Amar Yitzchak, V'hani Tarti Maya Vidatayu, these two, what are we doing with them? Amar Yitzchak, B'schar Hagofas Delosis. This was a reward for, the literal translation is, closing the doors. Okay? This is a special reward for closing the doors. So the Gemara, let me just finish the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "V'nei melei dal bedal." Well, you're giving the mishma hanichnas, the new mishma that are coming in. You're giving them an extra two because of this schar hagafas losses, but you're taking away from them next week, because next week you're only going to give them five. So why don't we just say equal it out? So Gemara says, "Am abaya b'tzino tava mikra." It's an expression. It's better to get something now than later. So I'm not going to go into that. So that's why they prefer to take the seven now and not get the five. Not divided up that way. That's not our point of view. Okay, so the question now is, first of all, we don't understand. What does it mean? We have to also understand, what does it mean, hagafas losses? As far as we know, every avodah that they did was part of their avodah. They didn't get any extra schar. This is the first time we find a concept that they're getting something extra over you. For what reason? What are you giving them something extra for? Okay. So now let's go back and we'll tie everything together. So far we've had a shaila, how many bati av there were. We also found an interesting gemara that apparently from the gemara it would seem that your only options are to say either that there was eight bati av or to say there were six bati av. But the gemara is definitely referring to two mishmaris on Shabbos, and therefore how in the world can we explain, as we see Rashi and some other Rishonim will soon see, they hold that there were seven bati av. So I'm going to tell you a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, "Ubeshabbos sheyesh shom tmidin umusafin ushnei bezich elavoyna kesed heim oimdim." So Shabbos, that is tmidin musafin ushnei bezich elavoyna. What? How do we do? Mefisin b'shacha anshe oisa beisav shal mishma yotze. In the morning, we make a pious. The anshe beisav of that mishmer, they do a pious, and umakrivim tamid shel shachar b'shel kivsa oile shel musafim. They do the tamid shel shachar. They also do the musaf. V'kol shezocha b'avoyin uvoyitza tamid huzoicha b'av b'shnei kivsa musaf. Whoever's doing the tamid shel shachar is doing the shnei kivsa musaf. That is the base av of oise mishma yoise. However, the other mishmer that is coming in on Shabbos, mefisin paisas acheus the tamid shel bein arba'im ve'elu ve'elu chayukim lechem aponim. And with the mishmer that comes in, they do for the tamid shel bein arba'im, and we divide up the lechem aponim. If you medayken, what's very noticeably missing in the Rambam is he doesn't mention anything about a base av in the afternoon. It's very schwer to say that he's being makatza. I'm going to read it again. B'Shabbos sheisham tmidim musafin ushnei bezich elavoyna keitzedim oimdim b'fisin b'shacha anshe oise beisav shal mishma yetze u'makrivim tamid shal shacha ushnei kivsa oile shal musafin. So he says clearly anshe oise beisav shal mishma yetze kol shazach b'avod. And then he says v'amishma ha'acha sheikonis b'Shabbos mefisin parasas acheus l'tamid shal bein arba'im. So he doesn't mention anything about a base av in the afternoon. Okay, and actually, the Rambam, and so learns, the Kesef Mishnah learns in the Rambam that there were seven bati av. The Rambam holds there were seven bati av, which would mean that Shabbos in the morning there was a base av of Shabbos, of the Mishma, what we call the Mishma Yosef, the one that is leaving. However, the Mishma Nichnas did not have a Beis Av. It's not hard to understand. If we had a choice between the two of them, for sure it makes the most sense, because really, the Mishma Nichnas are more or less in Turas. We're still in the week of this Mishma. So of course, the Mishma of Shabbos is the Mishma that's there in the morning, and actually they actually do the Musaf also, which is also a big indication that they are the main Mishma. And then, so therefore they were actually part of a Beis Av. The Mishma HaNichnas, they came in, they did not work as part of a Beis Av, they were all there together. That's how we, sounds like the Rambam is saying. Now I'm going to skip, I'm going to jump to what the Vart that I want to say, and then I'm going to build it and prove it to you. So I would like to suggest like this. Our question was, what does it mean, Schar HaGofas Delosos? Where in the whole Kachim do we find a concept that we're giving schar for an avoda that Kohanim are doing? So I would like to jump and say as follows. I'll say that the normal Seder avoda works together with a Beis Av, and therefore, whatever anyone does as part of a Beis Av does not require, that you will not get schar for. However, since over here there's something extra over here, in this Mishma HaNichnas, they're doing something extra, there's no Beis Av over here, and therefore they are getting schar hagafas losses. They're getting a schar. So of course you're going to ask me right away, if that's the case, they're not just doing hagafas losses, they're also doing talmid shobein abayim, they're doing other avodas, right? We don't say that they're getting the two extra chalas for the other avodas. We're only saying specifically for the hagafas losses. So that we would have to explain. So again, I want to keep. Let's keep track. So to summarize, so far what we're trying. Our question was: we learned the Gemara over here that told us that by lechem upon him, we divide on Shabbos. It's divided between two mishmaros on Shabbos. There's a mishma da'yichnas and there's a mishma hayetzit, and we divide it between the two of them. However, Yehuda says that we don't divide it equally. We give the mishma hanichnas hayetzit. They only get 5 chalas, 5 of the 12, and the mishma hanichnas, the mishma that comes in, gets an additional 2 chalas, bischar hagafas losses, as a reward for closing the gates, which we're still going to go into soon. And since they're getting this extra reward, so that's the extra 2. Our question is, first of all, where do we find the concept of schar? Second of all, the issue that we've been dealing with is that the chayu, how could it be that there are 7 mishmaros. It looks like from this Gemara very clearly that is either 8 mishmaros, or not mishmaros, I'm sorry, 8 batei av, or could be the 6 batei av, but not 7. That means on Shabbos, we're talking, the Mishnah is definitely telling us that on Shabbos there was 2 mishmaros going on, which 6 plus 2 is either 8, or you'll tell me that the 2 on Shabbos were not batei av at all, but certainly 7 should not be a number. Try to prove from the Rambam, who we know from the Kesem Mishnah, holds that there were 7. And we wanted to show you that the Rambam holds that the Mishma HaYosef, the ones that are exiting, they are the ones that are the main Mishma, and they work with a Beis Av. However, the ones that come in the afternoon, they are not a Beis Av. This is just the whole Mishma together. And therefore, we wanted to say, if you learn like that, that the ones that in the afternoon are not a real Beis Av, so one says that for some reason they're going to get a schar over here, a reward for something that's not their basic requirement. However, we asked, if we're saying that the fact alone that they're not a real Beis Av means that it's not a real requirement, so then what about they're doing other avodas? They're doing Talmid Shobein Arbaim, which is, they're not getting schar for doing Talmid Shobein Arbaim. So we have to understand 2 things over here. Okay, the 2 things that we're going to understand is that we first understand what is going on over here. If I ask you, what is the avoda of Kohanim? You'll tell me Kohanim, the avoda of Kohanim is Kabbalah, everything. What's the avoda of Leviim? We know about 2 things, maybe 3 things, but 2 things we know for sure. Meshayurim and Shoyarim. Meshayurim, they sang, the Leviim sang in the Beis HaMikdash, and Shoyarim, gatekeepers, okay? Which, till now, we always understood. That means people who open and close the gates, right? In the morning they have to be opened, and at night they have to be closed. So what on earth is going on? We're talking about Kahanim over here. How do Kahanim get in to the business of closing gates over here? Okay? This is a kasha that Tosfos asks is kasha, and so the Shita Mekubetzes also brings down this kasha. Tosfos in Bab Metzia says as follows. Tosfos says, so really, I'm going to try. The Gemara in Eichin is very clear. The Gemara in Eichin says a story that there was two Levim, that one of the Levim was trying to help out the other Levi, and he says, you go back, b'magife delosses, in closing of the gates, and he says, you go back, because I am from the Mishayrim and you are from the Mishayrim. And that's the basis of the Gemara, the famous halacha, Mishayrim Sheshia Chayiv Misa. Right? A Levi who has a specific job of Shira is not allowed to do the job of gatekeeping. And the other way around, also, somebody who's a Mishayrim cannot be a Mishayrim. But anyway, here from this Gemara is very, very clear that the people that are doing the Shirim, the gatekeepers are the Levim. Okay, if that's the case, Frektasis, what about our Gemara? Here the Gemara says very clearly, B'schar ha-gofas losses, that the Levim, that the Kehanim, are the ones that are opening and closing the gates. So, Loshen of Tosfos, V'm Toma, L'Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgoida, Sh'om al Abishur, Chazoy Boch, Sh'atom min Amashoyrim. This is the Gemara in Erechim. V'aniim min Ashoyrim, Mashma sh'oyu shneim Levim, ובשילי החולל, that's our Mishnah, אמין אין מגיפי דלוסס שבמקדוש, או דגמר, היו נויתן שכר מלחם הפונם, ולחם הפונם אין מוטה אלא לכהנים. So, a very obvious open steer, right? Contradiction. Here we see that the Megifei Delosses are the Kehanim, and we always understood, as it's apparent in the Gemara and Erechin, that the Megifei Delosses are the ones that close the gates, the Shoyarim are the Levim. So, Tosfos, V'yeshleima, the Begimel Mekoymes, Hayu Kahanim, Shoyme, Bebeis HaMikdash, Kudamrinan, Boreish, Meseches Tamid, V'oison, Magifit, Losses, Hayud Neidlin, Scharon, Milachan Apanam. Very interesting. Mamash, a big chiddush of Tosfos. In the beginning of Tamid, we know that there's Shoymim, Levim, and Kahanim. The Kahanim, even though the Levim were Shomer in 21 places, the Kahanim had a special mitzvah to be Shomer in 3 places. And he says in those 3 places, they were the Magifei Delosses. They closed the gates over there. It's a very big chiddush of Tosfos. I mean, we're giving them a schar for those 3 places. I just wanted to bring, I found a pasuk, which I think does mean, the chiddush really what Tosfos is telling us is, he's tying shmira, which the chayr is a different thing, to gatekeeping. We always understood that it's a different thing, it's another thing. I mean, the Rambam for sure tells us it's a separate thing. There's such a thing, shmira, a separate mitzvah of shmira, which very possibly could be done both by shayarim and mashayarim. And there's also a din of Shoyarim. The Tosfos seems to learn not like that. Tosfos learns that it's actually tied together. It's the same thing. And those who have the mitzvah of Shmira, it goes together hand in hand with Shoyarim, with Magifei Delosses, with closing gates. There's a passing in Divrei Yomim. Usvivei Space Elokim Yolinu Kealeyem Mishmeres. Sounds like they're doing the night watch, v'heim ala mafteach v'laboike v'laboike, and they're on the key. Says Rashi, v'heim ala mafteach ha'azara v'laboike v'laboike l'fteach. So apparently from there it's quite clear, or at least maybe that would be a makor for Tosfos, that Shmira is connected to doing the gates. So according to this Tosfos, so our question was, we always understood that the Levim are the ones who are the ones exclusive, have the exclusive rights to Shoyarim. So, and we have a kasha from our Gemara, and Rashi says Tosfos, no, you're right. The 3 places actually where the Kohanim did have a mitzvah by the gates. There's a Shita Mekubetzes in Erechim that says very different. She says Shita Mekubetzes Erechim.
Right. If that's the case, that means that's their job, right? It's a Kohanim's job.
Right. I've got excellent. Very good. So according to that, we didn't get anywhere with that. Okay. Now according to
it's the job, but they still get scarred.
Where do you find that they get scarred? Why don't they get scarred? Why don't they get scarred for anything else? Okay. So the Shita Mekubetzes. Let me see if I find it. Says the Shita Mekubetzes like this. Hacha mashma shalavim hoyu megifin adlosos. The Shita Mekubetzes over there in Erchin. Or peik acholol b'soifer mwinon. The mishmash is mani kavua. V'amisakim leitel shnayim asar gofas adlosos. Masha kanim hoyu megifin adlosos. V'laf kushihi. The kehanim hoyu megifin dalsos ha-heichol. B'mokim shalavim loy hoyu yucholim leilich. They would close the gates in the place where the Levim could not go. Okay, so this is really a very powerful thing that he's saying, a very interesting thing that he's saying. And what I'm going to tell you, two pshatim in this Gemara. So again, he's saying like this, he's saying, it's not shver. Why? To our steer, the Kohanim did the Dalsas Heichal in places where the Levim were not allowed to go. They also did the gates, right? Which is really a huge parallel.
What?
It's not a second pshat. He's saying v'chein b'mkaimis also. It's not a second pshat, right? The pella is, and this is really the Briskov's kasha. Pella is, you can go. Anyone's allowed. If you have something to do inside, you're allowed to go in, right? If the mitzvah halavim was to be magifed losses, right? Of course, they're allowed to go in. What kind of dinner? What kind of zach is that? That they're only allowed to go up to the point at any point where levim are not allowed to go. Then the kahanim did it. Okay, it's mamash a pella. It really is a pella. Well, how could that be such a din telling us that they can't go? The kahanim are magifed losses. Bom shall levim lo yichaylem later.
The Ramban says that they went out because there were no kohanim available. So that person Levim could go is only if there's nobody else.
How could you say
but
that?
If the kohanim could do it.
They have a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah that they have a mitzvah d'oraisa of shayrim. They are the shayrim. How could that be? You'll never find ever such a zach that such a concept that just because. It's only a shaylin bir ikonis to go there without having any specific purpose. It's more than that. The vat is you're only not allowed to go there if you have no purpose to go there. But it's more than what just stam we're allowing them to go there. There's no reason why they shouldn't go there. You're always allowed to go if you have to go in, right? There's no reason to stop them from going in. Okay, so really the Briskov blives shver, and I'm going to come back to the Briskov's hanacha because he's not the only one that has this hanacha. But I first would like to try and suggest a pshat in this shita mekubetzes. So I found the tshuva sawid. He says he brings down this kasha amashik shisem amashik pirush beyuma mechiach shakahanim hayushayim. It's another Gemara in Yuma. So it also says the same thing that they take the sheva for the hagafas losses. It's mechiach, and it says in air. So it sounds like the kahanim were the ones that are getting the lechem aponim bischar hagafas losses. And here in Erechin, we see clearly that the Levim have the mitzvah shayrim. So he says against the loshon tamati aleichem imulvavchem ikshisem keelu. Yeah, so he says clearly. And then it says the whole thing, and it says mafteiches azara biyodim. So where the kohanim were watching, it had mafteiches azara biyodim. Alma halavim hayushayim b'shar harabayis, v'kohanim hayushayim b'shar azara, v'b'shar hahechol. So I really want to be mekatze. Basically, what I would like to say according to this Tosafot is telling us that lemaisa. In the mitzvah shmira, not in the mitzvah shmira. There's definitely a din that kohanim have a mitzvah shayrim. Okay, they have such a mitzvah. The question was how to divide it up. So on that, the Shita Mikabetzis is telling us a logical way of dividing up. But Avada, that's not the reason. The Shita Mikabetzis is not saying that that's the reason why the Levium could not go in there. Because of course, if they would have a mitzvah, there's nothing stopping them from going in there. The only thing he's saying, and according to the Tosafot, they definitely have also a mitzvah of Shoyim. So we have a mitzvah of Shoyim side by the Levium, side by the Kanim. Question is, how do we divide it up? So that the Tosafot is telling us. The Shita Mikabetzis is saying it a little bit different. He's telling us the way we divide it up, the logical way of dividing it up, is that if on the normal places where the Kohanim would be, they would be the ones that are doing the Shoyim, and then wherever they were actually obviously being Shoyim, they would also. But the basic idea, what the Tosafot is, what the Shita Mikabetzis is means, L'chayra, he's not saying that that's the reason. But anyway, the Briskulov had this hanacha. Briskulov had this hanacha, he had this understanding that what we're trying to say over here is that the Kehanim could not go, the Levim were not able to go in any further, and therefore it was really, so let me say it in different words, this was really the Levim's job. Right? But since the Kehanim, since the Levim can't go any further, therefore that's where the Kehanim took over. Okay? Now, let's come to the next thing. So there's a briskurov, a very interesting briskurov. And I'm going to tell you again my teretz, we're getting to the last step in my teretz. So again, my question was, what does it mean, schar hagofas losses? Where do we find the concept of schar? And we wanted to say that because the mishmar hayotze, the ones that were leaving, they were the main mishmar, and they were the base av, and therefore they were legitimately there, and so to speak, the mishmar hanichnas, they were coming in not as a base av, and therefore because they were coming in not as a base av, and therefore they were doing an extra work that they were not would not necessarily be part of their avodah. However, we asked right away, what is the difference between hagofas losses that they're doing and the rest of the avodahs, which the karbonos, which we're not giving them schar for the karbonos, we're only giving them schar for hagofas losses.
But didn't both mishmaros, they took seven, they took five?
Oh, so we explained that. So again, the mishmar hayotze is the one that's leaving. Mm-hmm. They got five. They really should have gotten, each one should get six, because there's 12, right? We take away one, really, or two, whatever, however you want to look at it, and we give it to the mishmar hanichnas, the one that are coming in. We're calling them, they're not really, they're just coming, they're really next week's mishmar, okay? And they are getting, bischar hagofas losses, they're getting these two extra chalas. Okay, that's the Gemara. They, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are getting these two extra challahs. The question is, right, that's our question, how does schar come in over here? So we have established that according to the Rambam, the Mishmar HaYotze was a real Beis Av, okay, and therefore they were properly there. The Mishmar HaNichnas, they were just not a Beis Av, this was the whole Mishmar together, and these people were, and they were, that's why they're getting this hagafas losses, because it's not really their job. Okay? It's not really their job. So we're obviously at the point where we have to differentiate between karbonos, which sounds like, even though we should say it's not really their job either, because there's no beis av over here, right? Nevertheless, we're not giving them schar for doing karbonos, we're only giving them specifically for hagafas losses. Listen to this Briskurov in Parshas Bamidbar, very sadistic of Briskurov to explain the difference between the avodah of Kohanim and Levim. Okay? Zog to Briskurov like this. Hine, the Levim ikedina, the tzurichim liyas memunim kol echad al avodasa. There's a special din by Levim. Everyone has to be specifically appointed to his job. Kudekayim alon, mashoyre shashir chayiv misa, and mekoras mefurashim. Right, if a mashayre does the work of a gatekeeper, it's chayiv misa. Umikores mufurashim, Aaron uvanav yavoyu v'sama oisim ishish al avidasa v'al masoi. Ulhanu b'nei Gershon brings many pesukim. Avo b'kehanim einam tzurichim minu. They do not need a specific appointment. Rak, kol mishu koyin v'ushoy lavit kol avidasa kunim. Anyone who's a Kohen, automatically he has a right to do all avodas of the Kohen. And therefore, and again he's bringing the Psukim, and then he says, he brings a beautiful raya. He says, in the Tome, in the Tumas HaDeshen, okay, in the beginning, they never used to have a pious, right? Then it started getting arguments, so then they made a pious. Meaning that really anyone can do it. It's really a job. The Avodas HaKohanim is an Avodah, it's called Avodas Matana. It's works, the way it works is, it was given to the Kohanim, and they are really allowed to, if somebody would be Zoich and a pious, and somebody else would do his job, I'm not going into all the halachas, but basically that would be a Choshen Mishpat Shaila. You're stealing somebody else's mitzvah away from him. But the ability to do the Melacha, to do the Avodah, that is, he is 100% able, because everything, all the Avodas HaKohanim are very different to the Avodas Levim. The Avodas HaKohanim is automatically an Avodah that's given to all the Kohanim together. And anything that we divide, that's just to make sure that there shouldn't be any fighting, or whatever it is. However, the Avodas Levim, very clearly, it works, and he brings a lot of Sukkim to show this, and it brings a lot of rayas. It's only alidei minui. It's only through appointment. When you're appointed to be a mashayer, then you're a mashayer. You're appointed to be a mashayer, then you are a mashayer. So, if we can accept this chiluk, so maybe we can use this in a broader sense to explain what we're saying over here. Avada, when the Mishma HaNichnas comes in, okay, there's no Beis Av, so there's nothing designated at all. There's nothing really designated. However, when it comes to doing the Avodah of Tamid Shabbein Abayim, okay, that's automatic. There's no schar involved. Because let's say there would be no Kohanim of the Mishma there, right? So another Kohen would do it. He would never get schar. You could never get schar for Avodah of Kohanim, because it's mutal on every Kohen to do the Avodah, whether or not you're vertim the Beis Av or not. If the Beis Av is there, they get it, the Zeicha, whatever it is. But Be'etzem, Avada, every single Kohen can do every Avodah. However, when it comes to Avodah of the, which is really the Levim, there it works very, very differently. I would like to say that the Beis Av, any Beis Av that really does the job, they are given the Avodah of Hagafas Losses. That's a normal Beis Av. However, here that there was no Beis Av, and this was just a Mishma that was coming in without a Beis Av, so there we can say, L'chayra, like we explain in according to the Briskur Rav, that really the fact that the Kohanim are doing the Hagafas Losses inside, it's really the Levim's job. But since whatever the explanation is, I mean, it is shver, but that's how we understood. But since it's be'etzem, this is the avodah of the Levim, it's a Levim dikka job, and now they're doing something that really was not their job, so since they're doing something that was not their job, that allows them to get schar. So that would be a very nice pshat in understanding the concept of b'schar hagafas losses.
The big av the Yotze is really paying for the
Levian's
job.
They're paying for the Levian's job, okay? Good point. Very good point. Excellent. Very good point. Okay, very good. Excellent. I like that. Okay. Very good. Now, the Aruch Lener had said that he proved that there's 8 Mishmaros. Okay? I'm sorry, 8 Batei Av. Okay? Because he learns that each one, and he actually brings a Raya, which I told you about, the Raya of the Gemara in Tainis. He learns there was actually a Beis Av in the morning and a Beis Av at night in a Beis Av. And obviously, our Teretz will not work over there at all. There's another problem with this, with such a concept. To say that there's a Beis Av in the morning and a Beis Av at night, what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, the Gemara says, so therefore we're giving the Mishma HaYotze, the Mishma HaNichnas, we're giving them an extra 2, right? Then the Gemara says, woman, let's say Dal B'Dal, but next week they're going to get less. Who are these people? Who are we talking about? If there would be no Beis Av on Shabbos at all, then we're talking about the same people, right? We're talking about the same people. The Mishma HaNichnas of this week are the same people as the Mishma HaYotze of next week, right? So we should say, Dal B'Dal, let's equal it out. You give, what's the point of getting seven this week and five next week? Let's just like make it equal. That's the logic of the Gemara. But if you're going to tell me that there was specific Batei Av, there was eight Batei Av, right? That means that there was no, that the Beis Av, the Mishma HaYotze, Amir HaNichnas of this week is not the Mishma HaYotze of next week, right? So what's this Dal Badal business, right? So again, if there was no, if we would have said that there's no Mishmaris, there's no Beis Av on Shabbos, then it's very, very good. Others want to suggest, and Lamaisa, I found that the Beryl had suggested, and the Brisker Rav said it's not possible to say, that maybe it was really half, the Beis Av of Shabbos really got two jobs, right? Half this week and half the other week. Okay, I mean, actually, the Chaznish discusses the concept of why would they only get such a small job. So that would be an answer, right? To say that it was the same Beis Av who was actually left this week, who were the Mishma HaNichnas, they were the Beis Av in the Mishma HaYosef next week. But of course, we're not answering our question of Bishara Gofer's losses at all. Okay, so basically we're back to, if we were to say that it was the same base, there were base, but they have, how will we explain the concept of Schar Gofer's losses? So we're already running out of time, so I'm just going to quickly suggest something. There's a Rashi, very, very interesting Rashi. A Rashi seems to go against everything that we said till now. Rashi says, Rashi in Yuma says, "Anichnas neikel shtein, b'schar shu megif l'motze Shabbos, dalsos ha'zora v'cheil v'heichel v'lishkos shepaschu shachris mishma sheyotzele." Incredible, right? He's saying the dalsos ha'zora, the cheil and the heichel. Cheil, I'm not sure what he means, but the chayr is talking about the harabais. And the harabais is never, ever, ever a tzad that has to do with the kehanim. That's for sure, the levim. Whether you learn the shita mekubetzes, who made the chiluk between where the kehanim could go to, where the levim could go to, for sure they can go to that was where they were being shomer. And here he seems to say that they're doing hagofa everywhere. There's a mefarish, it says in Talmud, Hayu Aliyas, we're talking about the places where there were Shema. So it says the Kohanim has to be in a Makam Gevaya, but the Levim was only in a lower place next to the gates, and that's why we call them Shairim. Lekach Kori Apostle Levim Shairim Lefi Shaloi Hoysa Shmirasam Ela Eitzel Hashem. Why do we call them Shairim? You know why? Shairim means gatekeepers, right? No, lefi shaloi haisa shmirasam ela itzel hashar. Sounds like he's learning very different to how we always understand. Just the opposite. The Kohanim, the Levim have nothing to do with locking gates. Okay, that's what it sounds like. Lekach kore apostle Levim shairim, lefi shaloi haisa shmirasam ela itzel hashar. There's a Sifri Zuta which says, L'chon nasatim l'moshcha l'gdula is going on the Kohanim, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda af n'ilas hadlosis. Okay, locking of the gates was a job of the Kehanim. It doesn't say that there were specific ones. It sounds like all of them. Problem is the Gemara in Erechim, we said that we know that the Levim were Sha'arim, right? The Levim were Sha'arim. So we could really answer this stira and say a very new thing, that there's a difference between Agafas losses and Neilas losses. There's a Rashi in Zvachim says, Mugaf. What does Mugaf mean? Sagu v'loi na'ul. K'moi Agafas losses. Often a Rashi, right? So there's two different things. There's something called Agafas losses, closing of gates, and something called Neilas Hashar, Neilas of the gates, which apparently that is Lemoshcha Legdula, that's a godlessdika thing, that went to the Kehanim. And the Hagafa, which might have been connected more with Shmira, that would go to the Levim. However, okay, so... What?
But this is Bishara.
Oh, very good. So what's going on over here? We're not really gaining anything. I really brought that in. And so I would like to make an unbelievable dik in this Rashi, and therefore with that dik, maybe say a different shot. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Chashu Megir Matzah Shabbos, Dalsis Azara, V'cheil, V'heichel, V'lishkois, Shepaschu Shachris, Mishma Sheyotzalai. What are those? V'lishkois, Shepaschu Shachris, Mishma Sheyotzalai. What is that? What is Lishkois, Shepaschu Shachris, Mishma Sheyotzalai? Never heard of such a thing. First of all, lishkas are rooms, right? There's such a thing that rooms have to be opened, closed, right? I'm sorry? Yeah, so what's the pshat? So what is that? Okay. So really, Rashi by us actually says, what's b'schar gov's losses? Shemishma nichas megif had losses arvis shepasach oisan mishma yotze. Very interesting lashon. What do you have to say that for? He closes the gates that were opened by the Mishmar Yotzeh. I suppose he's saying that it's connected to the why the Mishmar Hayotzeh is giving schar to the Mishmar Nichnas. But apparently, what sounds like over here is, first of all, the Lashon Chel, gates of Chel, we don't usually have that, right? We know we have Shari Harabais, the Ikedin Shari Shari Harabais. It sounds like from Rashi that we're talking about something additional. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but from Rashi, and that would be a whole new way of understanding what Agafas Lossus is. Agafas Lossus is not the normal din of Shayarim. It's not the normal, and we don't have to get into the controversy in the Shayla of Kohanim Levim. These are mamash specifically. There must have been some mitzvah to close up at the end of the day, and that was a special din that they got schar for. It sounds like that in Rashi. One more thing I just want to end off before we get to the other part.
Rashi says other things too, not only the chil. Also the main gate.
But I don't know if he means the main gates. He says Dalsis. Maybe we're talking about something else over here. We're not talking about it. You're right.
No, I don't know.
The Shari Azor and Shari Hechel.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Regular Dalsis. Make a face to say that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't have a, I'm not. But that's a very unusual thing, right? This thing that he adds is incredible, right? What's this extra thing? Velishkei shapasa. We don't have such a thing. There's no makar for such a thing. There's no such a makar for such a thing that there was a lishkus that they have to close lishkus that they opened. What does that mean, right? And also the lashon chel is not found anywhere. In all the mitzvahs of opening and closing gates, we don't have the lashon of chel. Okay, so that's the two basic two mahalchim. I just want to tell you an interesting thing. Let's see if I can find it. The Miri really asks the question. The only one that I found that really asks the question: what's the schar over here? Okay. Doesn't understand. If there's a schar for opening, for closing gates, and there's a schar for opening gates, he doesn't understand. Ella says a very, very unusual thing. They both open the gates. Sha'af mishma nichnas, the ones that are coming in for next week's job, zaris lahakdim velavoi, they're coming in early, and they stand there together with the mishma yetzer, sha'ovid b'tamet shel shachar, u'b'masafin, v'yetzelai, and then they go out, and then v'anichnas ovid megev v'vadei, u'metoich kach neitel sheva. So what does he do? They help the Shushtayim Pesos had losses. They come in early, they're very excited to do their Avodah. Instead of coming in the afternoon, they actually come in Mamash Pre-Dawn, and they help out opening the doors, and they're helping the Mishmar Yaseh with their job, so of course I have to pay them for helping for this wonderful help. Right? I mean, it really is incredible. The obvious questions that's going through our minds is, who said they're interested in that help? Right? Who said they're interested in losing two of their lechem upon him for this thing?
It's also not Hagafas, though.
What?
That's also not Hagafas.
What do you mean?
He's saying he gets half of the psicha.
Oh, oh, I see. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, right, okay. Okay, so I'm telling you over, Asfasem, as Imriam, Asfasem, Nasho says it, in Parashat Nitzavim. I think there's a concept over here which I think it's important. He says like this. He says that B'Shabbos Achroina, Tzuichim Yoseis Chaskos V'achona, like it says, Baruch Atah B'Veyacha, Baruch Atah B'Tzisecha, Kfi Masha Yitzia, Hi B'Kdusha, Kach Yichodim Kavah Abracha, Sheba, Toch Hashono B'Chasel. And then he says, Isa Shabashabas Mishma Hayyatsim Bavarich Mishma Nichnas, Misha Shikin Ishmay Babai says that. We know one of the things is that the Mishma Hayyatsim gives a special bracha to Mishma Nichnas. Then he says like this. He says, the Mishma Hayyatsim Hayyunaisin the Mishma Nichnas Shnei Chalas Bishara Gophas Losses. Haloi Mishma Nichnas Hayyachayib Lahogifad Losses. Halezaya Bam Savaydashanat. Ulam Zehu Ayin Taiva Me'achad Achaveiru. So he's trying to say that the concept over here, the transition between Mishma Yaitse to Mishma Nichnas, was as we see in the bracha also, there was a transition of Ayin Tov over in order to really put in Yashkin here, Shalom, there was an idea of Ayin Tov over here. And therefore, at least conceptually, we can understand a little bit that the Schar Gofas Losses is a concept of the Mishma Yetzir giving over to the Mishma Nichnas. There's a concept over here. You see that Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Gemara says that it doesn't really, in Svar, it doesn't make so much sense. We should divide it equally. However, if we take this concept, so we're showing that we're giving. Instead of fighting, we're giving. That's how we can at least for sure explain the concept of the Miyu. Okay, I want to say over something, something that I said over this poem, but I really feel that it's mamash very, very relevant to our achanas for Pesach. It says like this. It says, "Vayishlach svarim el kol haYehudim divrei shalom ve'emes." So the question is, what does it mean that they sent divrei shalom ve'emes? What is shalom and emes? Okay, so it says in the Medrash, in Bereishis Rabba, B'shar Shabak Tshvorcha Leboreis as Adam Rishon, when Tshvorcha came to create Adam Rishon, Nasu Malachi Ashores Kitim Kitim, the Malachi Ashores came into groups. Mehem Amu Al Yivra, some said, do not create. Mehem Amu Yivra. And that, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Chesed V'emes Nifrashu, Tzedek V'shalom Nashakur. Chesed Amu Yivra. Chesed said, you should create the world because he's Goymer Chasad. It's Chesed. Emes Ama Al Yivra, Shekula Shkarim, everything is Sheket. Tzedek Ama Yivra, Shu Oisit Stokis, Shalom Ala Tzedek, Stokit, right? Shalom Ama Al Yivra, Shekula Ktata, everything is fighting. Ma'al Sakadish Baruch Hu, not Al Emes Vishlicha Artsam. And the Shvarchu took the Emes and threw it down to the ground, like it says the passing of Daniel, Vatashlich Emes Artsam. Okay, so some learn it's going on the Torah, but the Pashas are according to Rashi, and Rashi explains as follows, that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu throw down the Emes and not the Shalom? However, the Shalom also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry that they actually said, in concept, of course, that you shouldn't create the world. There's two Malachim that said you shouldn't create Shalom and Emes, because Shalom says everyone's fighting, and Emes says everything is Sheker. So why is Vatashlich Emes Atzah? So the answer is, says Rashi, as Mashem Rashi, because we're able to survive. The world is able to survive without Emes. However, without Shalom, the world is not able to survive. Okay? So therefore, Vatashlich Emes Atzah. What do we see? Obviously, there's no emes, right? If Atasha emes atzah, there is no emes, because the truth is a person has his negias, a person has his own things. It's impossible. Everything is shek. Okay? So, I saw in the Chassidish Sefer, he wants to say that when Klal Yisrael said, Kimu v'kiblu, okay, that they said, Kimu v'kiblu, they took over, they accepted the Torah from new, this was a completion of Emes, and therefore we had now finally the concept of Shalom and Emes, and I would like to explain it. Okay, so we know the B'shas Kabbalah Sotah, B'shas Matan Torah, the it was Kof Aleim HaKigigis, they were forced. And the Gemara says, Midah Rabba Lo Aisa, we have an excuse, as she says, Shem Yasminim Ladin, Lom Lo Kiyam Tamashi Kibaltam Aleichem, if we're brought to justice, why did you not be Mekayim what was on you? So there's an answer that you got it by Enos. So Rabbi Shteyman says, of course, we don't have from here any real patuim, right? It's just the person has an excuse inside of him. The way we're explaining, that means that even when Hashem gave down Torah MS, there was still some sheker left. Even the Torah is a sheker. Why? Because every single thing that we do in the Torah, we can always have a teretz that the negias of a person will work and say, listen, at the end of the day, it was a bit alidei kfir. Okay. However, I would like to say that the real tikkun, the real way of fixing such a thing. So, how do we tackle? How are we able to fix this problem? Is something called emunas chacham. So, historically, until the time of Mordechai and Esther, there was no possibility to even practice Emunas Chachamim, because we had the Urim V'Tumim. Any question that there was asked to the Urim V'Tumim. You pressed the button, you had the answer. Okay? Came Churban Beis HaMikdash, all of a sudden we had to deal with Das Torah. Should we go to the Suda of Achashverosh? Should we not go? Bowing down to Haman. And boy, what was going on over there? Sakonis Nefashis, Bikurach Nefesh, and who knows what was going on over there, right? And at the end of the day, everyone was mekabel the words of Mordechai Tzadik, and then the Mefarshim say taka, that was a gewaldige schus of Klal Yisrael, that they were able to have this gewaldige midah of Emunas Chachamim. That we say Hada Kimlua b'Me'ach Hashveirush. Where do we find that there were mekabel b'Ratzim b'Me'ach Hashveirush? There was a maimed kabbalah satayra in b'Me'ach Hashveirush. No. So the way we're explaining is very, very good. The kiblua b'Ratzim was that they were mekabel that they're going to keep the Torah. No more excuses anymore. Why? Because I'm not going to rely on myself anymore. I'm not going to rely on the negias that a person has. Now, Ross, what are we going to do? We're going to be Mekabel to that we have the concept of Emunas Chachamim, we're going to listen to our Chachamim, and therefore we don't have to rely on our own Negias, and that will be a completion of Divrei Shalom V'Emes. Now listen to them. I'm going to tell you three incredible stories which bring out this point. Okay? One, the first thing is, I'm sure some of you know about this, they proved in court that sometimes they could convince a client that something happened that didn't really happen. Okay, so what did they do? They brought in a group of people and they said they're going to show them a video of a car crash. Okay, so they call in the group of people. This they did in court. They call in the group of people and there's a narrator, there's somebody talking and they're showing the video of the car crash. Now he's saying, okay, guys, I want you to watch. You'll see now the two cars are coming together. Watch how they smash into each other. As they collided, he said, watch how they smash into each other. He calls in the second group of people, and he's showing them. He says, okay, I want you to watch. You see now? You see how these two cars are colliding into each other. That's what he said to them. He called in the first group of people, and he asked them, we have one question to ask you. Was there any glass? You saw a big crash. Did you see any glass? Every single person said, glass? The place was full of glass. That's how they said it. They called in the second group of people. Everyone said there was no glass there, and that was the fact. The fact was that there was no glass. Okay? I saw something. Everyone saw something, right? But shaker. Okay? Seeing is shaker. I heard another story, an incredible story. Rabbi Osband, he said over by the din of the yeshiva, he said 30 years ago his yeshiva was in New Jersey in a small town, and there was like 30 boys in yeshiva. He says, one time a fellow walks in over there. He said it was mamash a not firm place. A guy walks in over there, and he comes over Friday night. He said, we weren't even learning. After davening, he has tears in his eyes, and he says, you know, here is the emes. Here's the emes. So he says, I'll tell you. He said his name, I don't know, I forgot what the name was. He won the national prize for television reporting. Mamash, like the national prize, he won for television reporting. He said, even though I won the prize, I left television and I went to radio. He said, why? He says, our whole job was to spend hours every day watching footage of things that happened, and we had to pick out a scene that portrayed some kind of message that we're trying to, some slam that we're trying to say. He said it was kulei sheket. I couldn't take it anymore. He said the radio was a little better. Lamaisa came to yeshiva and he became a shomer Torah mitzvah. He's not alive anymore and he raised a firm family. Again, you know, we would say seeing is believing. It's not so at all. Everything is shaka. It's not shaykh. We think that we see and we know. It's not shaykh. Finally, one more story. There was somebody in Eretz Yisrael was giving a seminar for Bali Tshuva, and he was telling over this famous story that happened in the day, in times of the Chaznish after Shemitah, that there was a plague of locusts, and it came exactly to the border of Kamimias, of Shemesh Shvias, and the locusts mamish did not put, not one went, it mamish came to the border. So there was a fellow sitting there, and he says, can be. He was a not religious guy. He said, listen, my father was from that moshav, from a moshav right next to there, and he would have told me such a story. Listen to what happened. He calls up, he said, I'm going to have to call my father. He calls up his father. His father tells him like this, listen to this. He says, yes, you know what happened? When it happened, the head of the kid, I was a young boy, he called all the boys together, and he brought them right to the border, and he says to them, I want to show you something. Do you know how despicable the religious people are? That even their food, the animals don't want to touch. This is what he told them. Okay? Now, even if, you know, when you get a little bit older, you realize that, you know, how ridiculous it is. But the mice, here you're seeing mamish black and white, and you can twist everything. Every single thing could be twisted. So therefore, I'm telling you, it's no shaila about it. I was by, once a Bianca Galinsky was speaking, and he was talking about something else. He was saying that the lady once came in with a newspaper, and she was crying. She said, look what happened, a terrible tragedy, a ship sunk into the water, a huge ship sunk into the water. And they look, and they see, she didn't know how to read, so she was holding the newspaper upside down, so it looked like the ship was going into the water. Okay, so of course, if we can't read, and we don't have the ability that our Chachamim have. So we know that Matan Torah, I'm sorry, that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the first thing was, Vayaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi, believing in Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole Aveda of the Makkos, it really was the concept of Emunas Chachamim, believing in Moshe Rabbeinu. And I want to conclude with one incredible story, which happened a couple of months ago, and this really is not related to what I'm talking about, it's more related to the concept of davening, and davening for other people. There was a bacher, a boy that was what we would call an at-risk boy, very much so, and today he's a bacher that's learning very, very stark in Eretz Yisrael. This boy, there's a minig in Yerushalayim that the bachrim, they go to, there's people, we call them mashpiim, some are chassidish, some are whatever, all different kinds, and the bachrim go there, and they hear divrei Torah there, and they sing, and of course there's good food over there. It gives them chizik, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. This bacher that we're talking about, this past Tu B'Shvat, he goes into one of these people, who happens to be I think he's an American person, he's a grandson of Abu Chatzera. This boy walks in over there, and he's a regular yeshiva shaboy now. The guy looks at him and he says, yeah, I know who, I know you from somewhere. He's like thinking, he says, I'm telling you, I know you from somewhere. The boy says, he never seen this guy before in his life. I'm telling you, I know. Finally says, yeah, your name is Yaakov Chaim Ben Sarah. Boy, he was mamash shocked. That was his name. So he goes, you're a rapper. You know rap music? He says, you're a rapper. Boy, his mamash like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, 3 years before, this boy was hanging around in the old city. Okay, he's hanging around in the old city, playing around. All of a sudden he sees there's a guy, there's a well-known guy in Eretz Yisrael. He's a black man. He became a Geret Tzedek, who was a very famous rap singer. Okay? He's a young guy. He's sitting and learning Yom HaVah. He's sitting and learning Eitzis. So, really, Ants, the guy, serious guy. So this boy, who is at that point very much at risk, He all of a sudden sees by the castle, he can't believe his eyes. He's seeing this famous rap singer over there. So he comes running over to him, and he starts rapping away. He wants to show him that there's a good Talmud. He knows all the good stuff. Okay, this fellow, who this bacha we're talking about now, this Einikol of the Bava Sali, he's watching this Mara Neira. And after he's finished, he goes and he follows the boy. And he wants to see what's going on. He sees that the boy is about to eat by this Lubavitcher guy who puts on the throne of the coast. He goes over to the Lubavitcher guy and says, "Do me a favor. You see this boy, I know he's about to eat by you. Do me a favor. Somehow, try and get me his name while he's eating by you." He turns to the boy and he says to the boy, "You know, I'm davening for you every day until today. Okay? Listen to this story, right? This guy, he comes in 3 years later. This boy comes in dressed like a yeshiva bacha. Okay, this guy says, I'm davening for you. He saw that mara of a boy. Obviously, he wasn't dressed like a yeshiva bacha. Right? He went and he followed him. And he took down his name. He didn't just take down his name. He put it in his heart. Right? He took out this mara of this bacha that needs this neshama that needs a yeshua. And for 3 years, he was davening for him until he met him that day. And that's where we learn Tefillah, we have to daven for other people, not stone. It has to be part of our neshama.
Any kind of words? Just.
I didn't give you the name of the stock and what, but I forgot.
No problem.